been asked to come and talk about the future of global city gospel movements. I don't know the future of global city gospel movements, but anyway, everybody decided I should be the one to get up here, and in about 3 years, I'll probably look like a fool because much of what I'm saying won't happen. But let me give you a definition of a city gospel movement. City gospel movement is Christians and churches coming together across racial and denominational lines in a city, unified by A, the gospel, and B, a vision to reach that city, which means to see the urban body of Christ grow in quality and quantity faster than the population, so that the salt and light of Christian love and truth will actually influence the life of that city, renew it, improving it socially, influencing it culturally, and lifting up Jesus' name so it's increasingly respected and honored in that city. So, as you heard there, a city gospel movement are Christians who are united around the gospel. But whereas in almost all cities you've got churches and Christians and ministries trying to reach people for Christ, that's great. A gospel movement is when people come together across especially racial and denominational lines. I actually believe denominations are important. I'm glad we have Lutherans and Episcopalians and Baptists and Pentecostals and Presbyterians. It's also true that the differences in our churches along racial and ethnic lines, every racial group, every ethnic group, they do bring their unique gifts given by God into the body of Christ. So I don't want the walls to come all the way down. But right now, in most cities, there's 7-foot-high walls between the denominations, between the races. They need to come down in a gospel movement. They need to come down to about 3 feet so you can shake hands, you can hug and kiss. You don't want the walls to go away because, you see, you don't want the richness of all that diversity to go away. But in a gospel city movement, you have people coming together across those lines, across those walls, and uniting with a vision to affect their entire city with the gospel, and to see the body of Christ grow faster than the population there, so that the whole city's influence for Christ. Now, there are places, and I'm not going to talk about that now because you've been talking about it this entire time here. There are cities where that's happening. New York City is one place where we've seen a lot of these movement dynamics. It's one of the reasons why Movement Day started here. It was a way of trying to get our own walls down a little further, our own movement accelerating here. And then it began to be a way for churches in other cities, Christians in other cities to come together and seek to start gospel movements in their own cities. But having said all that, what's the future now? And the way to do that would be just to take a few moments to tell you what I think the challenges are in front of us. That's what I'll keep calling them. The challenges, then secondly, the reasons for hope, and then thirdly, what we have to do to capitalize on the opportunities we have. So the challenges, the reasons for hope, and what we must do to capitalize. So first of all, the challenges. I'll give you three. Things that I think are really going to be a problem for gospel city movements.
Great. Maybe return to the big screen. I just want to ask the question, what catches your attention in Keller's remarks? And again, it's in my view probably the best current definition of a healthy, sustainable city movement that I'm aware of. Any responses to this? What got your attention in it through his remarks?
The bringing the 7-foot walls down to the 3-foot walls so that you could still contain your own cultural richness.
Yes.
But at the same time, you can cross over and enjoy each other's own individual richness in your own.
Yes.
I agree with that, Jeff. That's perfect. That's exactly what I would think, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he defined what we're talking about, which is really important. He says a gospel city movement is where the population of believers grows faster than the population of the people. If that's what the definition is, then okay, then now we know where we need to go.
Right. And Brandon, that requires the work of the Holy Spirit. That requires spiritual awakening. That'll never happen apart from the Spirit of God moving but it's in moving in response to our posturing ourselves. And yeah, I just like the picture of bringing the wall down. We still are Presbyterians. We're still Pentecostals. We still might be a born again Catholic. So celebrate who you are. We don't ask anybody to give that up, but we bring the wall down enough so we can actually embrace one another across that wall. Yeah. Others, any other responses to what Tim has shared?
Salt and light of Christian love and truth, improving the life of that city. Critical. Yeah. If we don't make a difference, then what are we here for?
Right.
Country club time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, and I would like to log in here a little bit. And I've got a pretty broad denominational background over the years. Some I'm more proud of than others. At one point in my journey, I actually attended a Unity church in Nashville. And one of the things that strikes me about this particular conversation is that when you unify to the point where you can't be diversified, then the language, the blood of Jesus goes away. The cross goes away, the power of the Holy Spirit goes away, and now we're just meeting to meet. And so I don't see that happening here. That's not the conversation, but I'm kind of observing and learning through the convergence model with Brandon and Jesse and Ken. And I have to say my life is changing. My definition of what unity is changing. And I have nothing but high regard for how they're doing and how the pastors are doing it. And the thing that the last thing I'll say is that the thing that I admire the most in their unity is that they each carry their own identity and tasks and skills. And then they come together, they work, they decide, they plan, and then they each go to their own ministry and they do those things based on a unity of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is one, and they're bowing to Him in that unity of the Holy Spirit and of truth, then they're able to go out into their different ministries and make the impact that they do, because, you know, that's why we're different. Like if we all came together and said, okay, we're all going to be feet now.
Yeah.
That's my perspective. And my last word is that, as a musician, I've directed and conducted many, many, many ensembles and groups. And if everybody showed up with a bass, it wouldn't be much fun. And the whole point is getting everybody like a symphony to play their parts, take turns, listen. I mean, that's the most important thing. And to me, the space between the notes is listening. And that's why I think is critical for a movement like this. I love what he said about what the fellow just said in the video, that, you know, that the city, the Christian believers grow faster than the city itself. I love that, and I pray for that.
You said something earlier too that was, this brings it back to this whole thing. We don't necessarily need a leader in this whole thing, but you said something about the concept of an elder board for a community. It could potentially be people that are raised up amongst churches to be called upon as an elder board to help direct the churches in unity. That's something we don't have. And I've given the vision of, you know, Church Santa Cruz, like working as one, but one part that was missing was the concept of an elder board that could come out of these different denominations, and hopefully a variety of one, that you can get a healthy group of men and godly men or whatever leading us into the direction that God would want us to go, that hopefully be a sounding board that would prevent the bickering, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Because no one, we never had that in the past. Has anybody ever seen that in other areas and how it worked out?
So you've never actually had this like in your region, right? Santa Cruz County, Monterey County?
Not that I know.
Because right now, this is interesting. I'm working right now in real time with Bangalore, India, putting that group into place. There are 38 pastors prayer networks in Bangalore. Okay. There are multiple numbers of different, you know, big name people and events. Now there's three major groups that are going on that are doing things. I'm working with leaders in those three groups to kind of come with like a citywide eldership or an eldership of the citywide church. Okay. And it takes a ton of work, a ton of wisdom, but we're moving that direction. And they say this is like breakthrough in Bangalore like we've never seen before. And it requires the thing about identifying a leadership group. It's not top down, you know. And so your thing about eldership board, I wouldn't even use that phrase, Mark. Okay. It's kind of old language.
Sure.
You know, like a board of elders. No, this is a kingdom leadership community that is more grassroots up, and it's more people that's serving the community. Miraculously, this happened in Paterson, New Jersey. And honestly, I'm just being frank with you. I'm being honest. I couldn't believe that I was able to pull this off with this diversity of African Americans so jaded. It's like, okay, what's this white guy? Even my last name's White. Yeah. It's like, here's this white guy coming in telling us what to do. You know, these very jaded African Americans, you guys, you've thrown money at us, programs at us, New York City. We live in the shadow of New York City. What are you going to tell us now? You know, so we got them, we got Latinos, and among Latinos, there's such fragmentation. I mean, you know, within the Latino community, it's all kinds of, you know, fragmentation and arguing going on. And then we got women leaders, men leaders. I just couldn't believe it, but it is working. Okay. And they call themselves Ecclesia. They took an Ed Savosa term, I think, you know, or Ecclesia. And they said, that's who we are. So, and this is like a group of leaders that are now saying, okay, Lord, what are you doing in our city? How do we discern that, and how do we move it forward? So, Mark, I'm just saying here, you're right. You're right on track. It takes something like that. And this is just a unique, I'd say this is a unique part of my calling the Lord's given me, is to have that kind of ability to come in and help put that in place. Yes, it's apostolic. I sometimes feel like I'm virtually living in the book of Acts and just being obedient, you know. And so that's what's required, because it is authority, but it's authority rooted in humility. It's authority that actually manifests Philippians 2, culture of honor, to honor one another, prefer one another. Brother, you said it earlier beautifully. Brandon, I think, was expressing this. It's like, okay, I like my idea. This is my idea, but I'll defer to your idea, you know, listening to one another.
You know, and this is Dick Cornelson. One of the things that I see that I've just been hearing out of the scripture, probably most strongly for the last 2 or 3 years, and that is God seems to only work with people that don't seem to have
a clue.
Human power. That's how I get things done. And especially in America, mm-hmm. we reject anybody that doesn't have power, as they couldn't be a leader. And biblically, all the leaders started off with nothing. So as we deal with apostolic leadership, I think we're going to end up having quote unquote nobodies that God's going to pick to do the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Dick, sometimes it requires some somebodies.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But the somebody can't believe they're a somebody.
Right.
They just have to have the gifts of a somebody, but they can't believe they're somebody.
Like, for example, in Washington, D.C., Lon Solomon, pastor of McLean Bible. McLean Bible is like the huge evangelical church, you know, in D.C. He came under conviction, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. And here he is, the pastor of a big, you know, evangelical operation. And the Holy Spirit said to him, you don't even know the names of the other pastors down the street. And Lon, you don't even care about them. What have you done to build friendship and relationship with these pastors right in the shadow of McLean Bible Church? So, but he was a somebody, a voice of influence, and he began just sharing his testimony. But then, yes, the Lord is raising up these other, like, no names, you know, hey, like, God. Yeah.
Can I chime in back with Mark here on something he mentioned earlier in our conversation? I just want to encourage Mark. Is it Mark?